This is part four of a 10-part podcast on your electronic health record and taking control of your own health management. Enjoy the episode.
But the paradigm shift here in the design is from the state to the patient.
Yeah.
Now, I trust that the state will support and that individuals and companies and institutions will embrace an opportunity like this. Because we know from the publications and from the science behind this, but once you start embracing blockchain technology and the different electronic technologies that's provided by the fourth industrial revolution, and we will have a chat about
Absolutely,
that as well,
yeah.
You know, because it's a very important part from what we designed here. We know that this is going to be a critical part of making things better for the next pandemic.
Okay.
To make sure that the individual also have access. But most importantly, when the collation of the information starts to becoming a data set, that for the government then to make new guidelines or create guidelines based on today's knowledge and data will change the way we manage the pandemic.
Yeah.
Now, that concept is part of the Dublin study. Which we'll also talk about now,
that's a great, that first few minutes there is a great explanation of why something like this is not just nice.
Yeah.
It's like this could change the way we managed something like a pandemic. It's so relevant now.
Yeah.
This would have been relevant before the pandemic.
Yeah.
Let's be honest about that, because it's a great shift.
Yeah.
But with the pandemic and with the value that having up-to-date regular information and engagement from the people, to take that strain off governments and states and bodies to have to make decisions based on poor information.
Yeah.
It's so relevant now. That's a great explanation of it. But let's get to the team.
Yeah.
So you and the team and the study,
We
know what the goal and the mission is here now.
Yeah.
What's the structure look like? What are you doing? What does this look like going forward?
What we basically did, we did the research first.
Yes.
Then we created the basic design of the ideal electronic health record system. And then we actually went out there and did a huge amount of research on the different technologies. And again, this is known from a long time ago. And particularly, we were focusing on making use of the technologies provided in the fourth industrial revolution, which is a great topic to talk about separately on that. But I'll give you a bit of a history on that, and I'll give you a bit of an insight into the fourth industrial revolution itself. Our biggest challenge was how then to integrate these technologies within the industrial revolution and how to make them compatible with the EU directives, with eHealth Ireland, with international standards. We created basically a tiered system of centralized and decentralized database design. And we implemented a system that supports Health Level 7 and other communication protocols. So this is a language that has been used for about nearly 40 years now. It's an international standard where different medical systems talk to each other, and different designs, even completely different machines, can be able to transfer information. For instance, if you go for a scan in your local scanning radiology department, that image can be sent to your mobile phone.
Yeah.
Health Level 7.
It
can be sent to your doctor. Health Level 7.
Yeah.
It can be sent to another hospital. Health Level 7. So there are actually protocols. We had to institute that. And it had to be in lines with the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act, HIPAA, as well as GDPR. And believe me, the number is just going on and on. The directive that the EU applied in 2014, and it's actually in 2011 they actually started with that, was actually Article 14 of the directive. And it acknowledges the rights in cross-border healthcare. In other words, it acknowledged the right for patients to have access to their own information and to be able to transfer it even across border between different countries.
Okay.
Right. So the European e-health systems created the European Interoperability Framework, or the EIF, and this facilitates the cross-border transferring of medical data. And the new action plan that was from 2012 until 2020 confirmed the commitment of the EU to remove the existing barriers to fully mature an interoperable e-health system in Europe. So there is no legislation that prohibits this system or makes it illegal in any ways.
Okay.
This was developed purely on the basis of the vision that is also existing in the EU, where it's clear in the directive that we should break down the barriers for people to have access to the information.
Yeah.
And we should break down the barriers between health systems to communicate and talk to each other.
Well, it's interesting. You can get in a plane and fly anywhere in the world. Mm. There's no roaming charges on your phone anymore. You have international kind of rates and stuff like that. You purchase a lot of their goods internationally from different countries now too. But there were serious barriers between medical systems talking to each other.
Yeah.
Around the world and in Europe specifically. Yeah.
Especially.
Yeah.
But why is it not working in health?
Yeah, it's interesting.
Why is it being avoided in health? Why do we have access to your online banking, but I can't access my medical file?
Yeah.
It stands to question what we just accepted as the norm. And it took a pandemic for all of us to realize, listen, there must be a different way of doing this, right? And I think the fact that that the EU already has put these things in place is a good sign that we can trust authorities in that way, that they actually had the vision to enforce this and make it now enforceable on the countries to make sure that people can actually make use of these technologies that is much safer from a security point of view than having an ordinary laptop sitting somewhere on somebody's office. So what the whole thing was about this EU directives is the integratability between existing systems and how different countries can integrate the information using this. So what I have to say is that for the study and for what we created here, we had incredible contributions from universities here in Ireland, in Northern Ireland, the Huazhou University in China. We had fantastic contributions from New South Wales, Sydney University, the Taipei Medical University, the Taipei Changgung Memorial Hospital, the Turku University in Finland, universities from Germany. The list goes on and on. So
everybody wants this.
Everyone wants this, and everyone wants to be part of the study because everyone knows this is something that they were waiting for, you know. And we were just very fortunate to have a team to put it together, do the architecture, and then we can take it out to these professionals. That is the best of breed in the world, in my opinion, at least, you know, from what we could research, to actually put it into a reality.
Yeah.
All right. So the company, for instance, providing the cybersecurity for us, we don't do that. We don't have to do that. We're just running the application, right? But they are providing also services to Bosch, to Lufthansa, to Swiss Air, to Austrian Air. The list goes on there, you know. So these people are based in their team and they're based in Germany.
So this is an active development project now. This is not theoretical at the moment.
No.
This is in the next stage. It's in development. You're working on all the physical, practical parts and applications of this.
Correct, amazing. Yes.
Thank you for listening to part 4 of this 10-part series. If you'd like any further information on the topics of this podcast, or if you'd like to get involved with the research project, please contact Dr. Sam's team on reception@newacell.com.